I'm on my way. You still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now?
Good morning. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. My name is Andrea Smith, and I have the privilege and opportunity of being the pastor here at West. And today is a special day. We are continuing in our message series called Fight Club. And so today is going to be a little different. It's not a message, just me talking, and you're really glad about that, I'm sure, for like 30 minutes. We have a special guest speaker with us today. His name is Dr. Michael Royal. I know him as Mike. He has been in the public school system since 2001 and actually has had, I don't know that he would know that Scott and I would say this, but just a tremendous impact on the lives of our kids. They were in a different school system before Scott started working for Mooresville Graded Schools. And then when they moved into Mooresville Graded, Andrew very soon thereafter moved into high school and was just searching for his place. And not that running was his thing at the time, but he joined the cross country team. And Mike just has made a lasting forever impression upon Mike and upon me, because Mike taught me sort of to be on time, because he is very, very methodical about when they leave and how he does things, which most professionals are. I, however, struggle with timeliness, so Andrew would totally freak out every Saturday morning when at 5:30 or 6 we needed to be at Mooresville High School, and I would be habitually late. So Mike, you have taught me to be on time, so I want you to know that. But he is a great leader, and I have watched from afar him interact with different kids, friends of my kids, and just make a huge difference in their lives. And I know that Mooresville Graded does a big deal with bullying, and so I asked Mike to be our guest speaker here with us this morning. So will you please give him a warm welcome? So this is how this is going to work. Mike and I have gone over some questions, some that you all submitted online, and then we're going to just talk about the concept and the topic of bullying, and then we're going to look at some scripture, what Jesus would say about it. We're going to flesh that out, because what Jesus says is, I don't know that he would say that to a bunch of middle school and high schoolers, so we're going to talk about that a little, and then we'll be finished. So thank you for joining us this morning. So Mike.
Well, thank you for having me. I do want to interrupt real quick and just clarify that I must not have done a very good job, because I don't think you're punctual everywhere, right?
No.
So I do apologize for that. We try our hardest, and I guess we'll continue. Scott will help me with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the time that you and I met for lunch to talk about the Bash Color Dash, I think I was late, wasn't I?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to bring that
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah. Well, I knew you were thinking it, so I figured, I mean, and they know me, you know, and they know that, like, I left my shoes in the car and couldn't get into jury duty on time, too, so I don't know if that's in the back of your mind. I think it might be. So,
it was. I asked her this morning. I was glad to see that she had her shoes on this morning, so.
So, the prison jail flip-flops are in the back of my car. If you don't have any clue what I'm talking about, I invite you to look at my Facebook post, and so Mike knows me, he gets me, and we're really glad you're here. So,
thank you.
First question, Mike, is what exactly is bullying? The definition. I think we lump a lot of different things into the concept of bullying, and we quickly think that everything is bullying. So can you talk to us about that?
Sure. And I think understand the topic this morning and moving forward with the discussion is we need to have a clear picture and understanding of what bullying is. And there's a lot of different resources out there. There's a lot of different definitions as well. And I think what we need to do is make sure that we understand there are certain key components of what is defined as bullying that we're going to always refer back to. If you look at a lot of definitions out there, I think they all have these certain components. And so a few of those components are that it's unwanted actions. Hmm. Clearly the victim of the bullying doesn't want this to happen. So unwanted has to be repeated. One time, you know, if I called you a bad name or I picked on you one time, you know, just that one incident is not necessarily bullying. It could lead to bullying, but by definition, bullying is repetitive actions. If I was mean to you, that's not appropriate either, That's mean. You know, it's uncalled for, but it's not necessarily bullying yet.
Okay.
It could turn into that. You know, the other thing is that a lot of definitions have something to do with an imbalance of power between the bully and the victim. It could be social imbalance. It could be a group of friends. But a lot of times there is that imbalance of power between the bully and the victim. One of the groups that we've met with this year at Mooresville High School, like you said, we're doing a lot to try to be on the forefront of anti-bullying and really helping our students and families. Respectability is that organization. And they have an acronym. So if you want to think about an instant, think about the acronym of PAIN, P-A-I-N. And so you can kind of think about what is involved in that definition. So P is that power imbalance. A is some form of aggression. Hmm. Doesn't have to be physical. A lot of times bullying is not physical. Matter of fact, if it turns physical, that takes it to another level. You know, bullying is definitely wrong and inappropriate and has to be handled. But when you get physical, if you're putting your hands on someone, that's assault. Hmm. And that's the next level. So P is that power imbalance. A is aggression. I is the intentional piece. And then N for numerous or repetitive. So if you can remember that acronym, a lot of times you can kind of help define that incident or that action itself. You know, would this fit the definition of bullying?
So power, aggression,
intentional,
and numerous. Right. Will you speak a little about intentional?
So again, intentional, you know, it could be something where a lot of times it's intentional because it becomes numerous. You know, one time if I make a comment about your shoes, for example, mm-hmm. you know, I may be kind of half-heartedly saying something. You know, the way you perceive it, though, is that I was picking on you and giving you a hard time. Mm-hmm. So my intention, and it's hard because my intention was just to kind of cut up with you.
Right.
But again, as the victim, you took it as something personal.
Right.
And it really hurts your feelings.
Right.
Maybe.
And I'm going to weep in about 5 minutes.
I understand. Right?
No, but I mean, seriously, right. I mean, that's a great point. And I think also ties back to our faith. You know, we know that whole golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And all, if you look at all the world religions, Aristotle, Confucius, Muhammad, the Buddha, they all have a concept of the golden rule. But I heard a sermon preached one time, and it pushed the golden rule just a little further. Instead of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, what if you started doing unto others as they would have you do unto them? You know, so that goes back to that, you know, how did I take it
Correct.
Versus how did you intend it?
Right. And that's hard because, you know, we don't always know how that is going to be perceived. And that's the tough part about, you know, human interaction itself. You know, a lot of times sending an email, the tone of that email can be read differently than you intended it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, that perception is very hard sometimes to read.
Well, you mentioning email actually leads us into the next question.
Sure.
So, we're pretty close to the same age. We grew up in a different culture and society than many of our teens and youth, or all of our teens and youth, do today. And so bullying back when you and I were in school looked very, very different than how it looks right now. Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think, you know, what you and I experienced as far as bullying and seeing that happen, you know, students getting picked on day after day, that still happens. But what Andre is speaking to is because of the age of the internet, the things that our students have at their fingertips, which when used appropriately, it's a great resource. It's a tremendous, you know, leveling of the playing field for all of our students and our families, and it's a great resource. But with any great resource and those freedoms that we now have, there's a lot more responsibility. And it falls a lot on the parents. It falls a lot on the school as well, just the community in general, to be sure that we're educating our kids about, you know, what it's like on the internet. You know, because the choices they make online could potentially impact, you know, what they have at their fingertips later on in life. And what you hear that referred to as the digital footprint. When students are applying for colleges and applying for jobs, you know, there's folks out there that are looking at your digital footprint to see how you're acting online. You know, they can have an interview with you, a one-on-one, and kind of get a read from you personally, but they also have, you know, what you've been doing online. So you want to make sure that we're educating our kids and each other about that digital footprint and being sure that we're being good digital citizens as well. But it has changed because it's harder to detect now, I think. You know, a lot of the bullying that we probably experienced in school, folks saw it in the classroom, they saw it in the hallway or the gym or the locker room, something like that. But a lot of times now, the students are getting very savvy and they're doing it online. not necessarily through email. A lot of it is social media. Kids nowadays probably don't use Facebook. I think our generation mm-hmm. is more using Facebook. We're older now, according to the kids. But they're using things like Snapchat and Instagram. And, you know, I think the one thing, you know, we tell our parents and families, obviously with Iredell Statesville Schools and Mooresville Graded Schools having our one-to-one initiative, you know, we try to stay on the forefront of teaching those digital citizenship lessons to our students and families and being sure that as parents, we recommend that they have access to all of those social media accounts. And a lot of our parents do, and that's a good start. What we have seen, and I spent the previous 17 years at Mooresville High School in the last last 9 years as a school administrator. And what we have seen is that students will have an Instagram, and they'll give that Instagram account to their parents, and the parents are accessing it, they're monitoring it, and you know, in the parents' eyes, my child's not doing anything wrong. This is just a generalization, not all kids do this, but some students have then created what they call a Finsta. So it's a fake Instagram.
Oh, wow.
So Finsta. So if you bring that terminology up with your child, they may look at you weird, like, how'd you know what that was?
I'll be asking Finsta, later.
Right. Yeah. So it's a fake Instagram that the parent does not have access to. So again, the kids kind of, you know, they'll be savvy and they'll come up with another account that doesn't necessarily have their name on it. And that's where we see a lot of these things start, at least from the school level. And, you know, so we'll involve parents, you know, if we have an incident that has been brought to our attention, and they'll say, no, you know, I'm monitoring their social media. You need to take it a step further and really scroll through their smartphone or their laptop and really be sure that you're checking that history and seeing what they're doing. You know, like I said, technology is a great thing when it's used appropriately. We just need to try to stay ahead of our kids, and that's tough.
One of the things I've seen, like on Facebook, people posing a question and getting a crowdsourcing response is parents asking, you know, is it fair of me to look at my child's phone? We haven't talked about that before right now, but speak to that.
Well, so personally, right? So I have two daughters. My wife and I, very fortunate. We have a 3-year-old and she thinks she's a 5.5-year-old, but she'll be 6 next month. So we have two daughters, and you know, it's interesting to watch them. I mean, they have an iPad themselves that they can scroll through. So, you know, I don't think anybody is leery or understands that, you know, the kids nowadays are very tech savvy. You know, so there's things that they can do that sometimes we don't know how to do. They'll show us, and that's good. You know, but as a parent, you know, we need to try to be on the forefront of those things as much as possible. You know, the way my wife and I have talked about it is, you know, they're our children. They're our responsibility. You know, it does take a village to raise kids, the school and the family itself. You know, we have a lot of responsibility for that. You know, but they're living in our house, right, until they're 18. Hopefully they'll go off to college and move on. But, you know, same thing with Andrew and Lane. I mean, you know, as you're raising your child, you know, what we're trying to do is to remember that we're not raising a kid. We're trying to raise an adult. So we want to try to set them up to be successful after they leave us, and hopefully they can take care of us one day, right? But, you know, to me, the way I look at it is they're our responsibility. You know, we need to teach them, you know, good character traits, how to be a good citizen, and that goes back to that digital citizenship piece. So, you know, whether it's fair or not, to me, I don't think that's even a question. I think that's our responsibility as parents to be sure, you know, that we are educating them and following up and mm-hmm. holding them accountable.
Scott and I've always said, you know, as long as we're paying the bills, right. You know, we sort of are providing for you, and we're paying your cell phone bill, so therefore it is your property, but it's shared property. Right. And we've tried to teach them, you know, look, what you say, everything you say and do, you know, can and will be used right. against you, especially digitally. And that's one of the things that I read when I was reading background information on bullying and cyberbullying, is that a lot of times the cyberbullies will take things that others have put online and then use it against them, manipulate the picture or whatever, and then start, you know, spamming it out and publishing it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to, you know, how is bullying different than maybe when you and I were growing up? Is probably, you know, in our day, it was more of a one-on-one or maybe a small group of people that may have been bullying one victim. And nowadays, you know, with everybody having tons of followers, and you, like you said, you can send it out, you can tweak what they posted with Photoshop or whatever, and then send it out. And now, instead of, you know, one or two bullies picking on somebody or you know, repeatedly going after someone, now there can be hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that takes it to a different level for sure.
And I think that's one of the reasons that, from a faith perspective, I think Mike would agree that we do have a responsibility to, you know, follow what our kids have on their phones and their social media. And, you know, I don't certainly ever want to be a proponent for manipulation of other people, but in our family, there's four of us, Scott, I, Andrew, and Lane, and they are 2 years apart. And so we've always had this, you know, like transparency. We've tried to be very transparent. Tell us when you're angry with us. Tell us when you are happy with us. And sometimes that's worked really well, and sometimes that hasn't. And social media, and Lane would be okay with me telling you this story, how Lane, she usually worships online, and everybody else worshiping online, hello, because I forgot to tell you that when we started. It was her senior year, and it was her cross-country, like, night when they honored all the people at the football field, and it goes back to that little timeliness factor, and if you heard this story in a sermon right after it happened, then forgive me, but Lane did not tell us the accurate time for the walking on the field. And so on Friday, I'm like, what time? She's like, well, I think 6, maybe 6:15, maybe 6:30. Well, for me, every minute counts. So if you tell me 6:30, I will try to be there right at 6:30. And I really wanted to give her flowers. So we stopped, got her flowers, and we got there at like 6:25. Well, the processional thing started at 6:15. So I started to run and did not have on logical shoes. And so totally wiped out Angie Byers' son. And he was like 8 or 9 years old. And I will always feel guilty for that. I took the boy out. The football team at Mooresville knew me and still laughs at me, actually. So that's not bullying. That's just honest. And you know, I apologized to Lane profusely, et cetera. But then later on that night, we were having dinner with friends, and Andrew sent me a screenshot of Lane's Instagram page. And I, you know, she was a senior by this time. I thought she was a pretty upstanding citizen. So I'd stopped watching her Instagram. And it was like something like, way to be there for me, Mom. And needless to say, that ruined the dinner with the friends. And I began texting her to inquire as to what her Instagram post was. And Andrew was very upfront with her. He said, look, you know, I understand you're upset with Mom, but, you know, airing it publicly for hundreds of people to see is just not cool. And so actually that was a really cool turning point in my relationship with Lane, because we did have some very difficult conversations. I apologized. I was, you know, late, and I knew that. She had some responsibility in that as well. But we got to talk about how to go about expressing anger and frustration and pain and embarrassment. I mean, she was embarrassed, and I was too, because I busted my butt, you know, and took out some football children. And, you know, but I do think we get afraid sometimes as parents to talk to our kids about things because it might be uncomfortable, or we might be afraid that we're going to make them upset with us. And I think you would agree that they're going to get over it at some point. You know, it is our responsibility as parents to hold them accountable and to coach them and right. teach them.
Well, and I think it kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier about we're trying to raise adults. You know,
right.
And a lot of folks, you know, just being 100% honest, a lot of parents that we saw, you know, being at the high school, you know, don't want to generalize again, but a lot of parents want to be more friends with their children. And,
yeah.
and you know, that's great, because you want to have that open communication, but they need to understand that you're there to help grow them and make them into a good citizen and an adult. So, I mean, I want everybody to be friends with their kids, don't get me wrong, but they do need to be a parent first,
right.
would be my recommendation. Yeah.
And knock on wood, I mean, Andrew will graduate in May, and Lane has 2 more years, and we were pretty hardcore parents, and I think they would both tell you now that, having lived through us being very stern and strict with boundaries, but we also
sure.
gave grace, that they do see us more as friends. So it's easier, you know, when the coaching and raising is done to a point, to then go back and
right.
and have that friendship. And like that one time with Lane, that was a turning point in our mm-hmm. relationship, but we still are Mom and Dad, and,
yeah.
you know, we'll, I hope, always be. So how can bystanders help prevent bullying without making themselves a target.
So, you know, when you, a lot of times when you see this bullying taking place, you know, it's not going to be where it's just the bully and the victim. A lot of times the bullies, from research and just my experience itself, you know, the bullies like to have that attention. Mm. And they kind of thrive off that. They get a reaction from maybe a crowd. And so, you know, the couple things that a bystander can do, you know, the bystander can step in. I know that nowadays, typically, that's not what the option is that they choose because they don't know, you know, what that reaction is going to be once they do that. But that's a choice they have. They could try to step in and help that victim, you know, try to remove the victim from the situation or really just confront the bully. You know, they could do that. You know, the other thing that their bystander could do is go get an adult. Go get some help. Go tell somebody that this is happening. You know, ideally right away. But even not right away, at some point, you know, that's what we try to tell our students is obviously we teach them about being kind and again, do unto others and the golden rule. But, you know, if you see these things happening, we need to know about it. So just about every school across the country, I know that Mooresville as well as Iredell Statesville has an anonymous bullying report. You can do that on the website. It's anonymous, but we do ask for as many details as we can so that we can intervene and get the appropriate resources, you know, to get involved. So the bystander can step in. They can go get an adult. Those would be the best two options. The third option is unfortunately what happens a lot is, like I mentioned before, they just stand there. You know, they don't do anything, and that's the worst thing that they can do. So, you know, not only are we educating our students about what bullying is, about being kind to others, but we're also trying to remind them and encourage them, if you see something, say something. Hmm. And that saying there is kind of a national movement, if you see something, say something. That goes along with bullying, anything that's unsafe, you know, anything that they see that somebody needs to be aware of. If you see something, say something. And that's really what we're trying to hit home is to remind our students that there are folks who can help, but they need to know about these things before they can step in. You know, a lot of times parents would come in and students would report something, you know, now is the month of April, and they would say, well, this has been happening all year. And one of our first questions would be, well, who have you told about this? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, unfortunately, they haven't told anybody yet. And, you know, if we can get to it early, then a lot of times the school has those resources that can prevent those things from occurring again.
So do you ever get afraid that, like, once the bully gets confronted, that they'll just keep doing it in different ways? Because I would be afraid to report, like, if I were being bullied, sure. And have been, you know, in my earlier years. Well, and some even now. I mean, adults get bullied. But I would be afraid to, like, tell, because I would be afraid that they would just keep doing it.
Right.
So,
and that's one thing that we're continuing to educate our students and families on is, you know, and I understand because there are a lot, we do hear that a lot, is that they don't want to come forward. They're afraid of retaliation or something. Mm-hmm. And that's why we really try to have those anonymous tips.
Okay.
Where when the school talks to the bully themselves and researches that and investigates, they never know that you reported it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because we want to keep you anonymous.
Okay.
Right? But again, that's still not enough for everybody.
Okay.
You know, and we try to have that discussion with students at the beginning of the year and ongoing and monthly meetings and reminders. You know, if you don't tell anybody, though, then is the school going to be able to help? Mm-hmm. Right? And we want to. We have the resources to do that. You know, there's things in the student code of conduct to prevent retaliation and those type of things. It's just hard because when we don't know about it, we can't step in.
So you've seen bullying with kids and teens a lot more than I have. So some of the situations and examples that I read and ways to, you know, address it, I had questions about. So one was if somebody's making fun of you because of how you look or whatever, you know, just to laugh it off, you know. So like if somebody said, you know, you're so ugly, you would stop a truck. Or I'm clearly not a very good bullier, but I don't, there's got to be something uglier to say than that. But
right.
If that were perpetual,
right.
And if you just make a joke about, yeah, I am. I know I'm so ugly. Yeah, haha. Do they stop? Do bullies stop when you do that?
So there is research out there, and there's some national speakers who would argue that does work
okay.
to a certain extent. You know, I think the difficult part with that would be as the victim, you have to have enough self-confidence that, you know, I don't believe I'm that ugly. So, you know, if you say that, it is kind of going to brush off.
Mm-hmm. What would happen with me is I would say it and then go cry. Because I would, like, know that I should stand up to it.
Sure.
But, I mean, words hurt,
they
right?
Do. They do. And that's why, you know, a lot of times I think people think of bullying as aggressive where it's physical. And again, like I said earlier, when it gets physical, that's assault. You know, that's a next level. It is a form of bullying, but it also involves much deeper ramifications and potential consequences. But a lot of it, what you see nowadays, and if you read articles about bullying incidents across the country, is it is a lot of psychological. It's emotional. And again, we don't know how that message is being perceived and taken in. So again, if a student is being bullied and they don't have that self-confidence necessarily to laugh it off or just walk away, you know, and even still, even if you do have enough self-confidence to do that, people can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you believe that, you know, that you're above average looking person and you know, what those words don't hurt me, you know, eventually it probably is going to get to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that initial reaction, if that coping mechanism doesn't work, you know, we've got to give our students different avenues to address that.
Cool. All right. Good. How do we talk to our kids about bullying?
And that's tough. You know, it's like you said earlier, those difficult, maybe uncomfortable conversations. You know, we're having those even with our 5-year-old now. She's in kindergarten, and we always try to word it as, you know, make sure you're being kind to everybody. You know, when she talks about a new friend in class, we ask if they're kind. One of our elementary schools that she goes to in Mooresville talks about the theme they have across the year for their students is filling each other's buckets.
Hmm.
Be a bucket filler. So, you know, really be kind to other students and what that looks like. And I think that's what's important is that our students are learning it not only from school, but they're learning it from home. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, what we see on the news or what we read online, you know, it's kind of like that song said, I believe most people are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you were to watch the news, you may not necessarily agree with that. So,
right.
You know, really taking it back to, you know, our church family, our school family, our immediate family is really teaching the kids, you know, by modeling what mm-hmm. that looks like. But, you know, when those incidents occur, having that conversation with your child, if they're, you can tell that they're emotionally upset about something, is having them open up with you, but then also being sure that we can talk about, okay, if this happens again, or now since this has been happening, here's what we're going to do. You know, as from a school standpoint, we try to reiterate, and I think our parents do it as well. It's just tough is to convince them that it's okay to tell somebody, because we can't do anything unless we know. So that's the first step, is being sure that we're having those conversations and then reminding them that it's okay to tell somebody, because if not, it's more than likely going to continue.
That's been, you know, Scott works with elementary ed. I don't know his right title, but, you know, he oversees all the elementary schools, I guess, and educators. He sometimes will share anonymously, of course, that website that you like. Things typically come in late at night on Friday or Saturday. That apparently is when a good bit of cyberbullying happens. And it's been really cool to hear him share stories of other kids and teens reporting it for others. So I think that anonymous, you know, you can report it for anyone. It does, from my perspective, you know, seem to be making a difference. So I commend you guys for that.
Yeah, and so Scott's official title is Assistant Superintendent over Elementary Education and Technology.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. It sounds important.
It does, yeah. It does, yeah.
And he's worshiping online, so I love you, dear.
But what Andre's mentioned is that see something, say something that we have. And like I said, Iredell Statesville has report a bully right on their district website. And again, it's all anonymous. And like you said, we're getting, I think we're getting more and more of the bystanders that are coming forward for the victims themselves. And we, again, we get a good mix of the victims finally are reporting it to that.
Good.
As well as the bystanders. But yeah, it's a wide variety, but I'm encouraged because we are getting those reports sent to us.
Good,
yeah.
Good. So the last thing, and then we're going to thank you and I'll read some scripture, but I'll explain a little more about this in a second. You know, Jesus teaches to turn the other cheek. And if someone offends you, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just read it while you're up here. And then
okay.
I would love, because I struggle with this with kids and teens. And I think if Jesus were here, you know, he was such an advocate for little children. You know, he got mad at the disciples because they were pushing them away. I do believe this would apply to adults, but I'd like for you to speak to this if you don't mind. It's in Matthew. Jesus was teaching the people, "You have heard it that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For God makes God's sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he goes on to say in other places, you know, if somebody strikes you, turn the other cheek. So how would that work out at Mooresville High School?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you know, I think a lot of times if a bully doesn't get a reaction, what research says at least, is that maybe they'll stop, right? But I haven't really experienced that a whole lot. You know, and like I said, in my time as being a teacher and an administrator at the school level, you know, I think that they're going to, if they don't get a reaction from you, they're probably going to move on to someone else. Mm-hmm. Again, whoever they can have that imbalance of power over, it may be kind of social status. It could be that they're, you know, they're part of a team or a club and you're not. You may look socially or you may look awkward to them for some reason. So, you know, I think with that initial victim, you know, if you turn the other cheek, eventually they would maybe stop from you. But I don't know that that's going to stop the bully from maybe finding another victim. Okay. So again, that's why it's important that the school and even, you know, maybe that bully's parents aren't aware that my son or daughter is a bully. And yeah, I think the other thing we haven't really mentioned, most people probably assume that bullies are male. They're both male and female.
Oh, yeah. I was a bully in middle school. Yeah. And I'm embarrassed about that.
Okay.
There was a young man, and his name was Paul. And everyone in our cohort or group or whatever picked on him. Mm-hmm. And my last name was Fair, and his last name was Golden. And so I always sat either right behind him or right in front of him, depending on how the teacher configured the desk. And so for, you know, 4 or 5 years, I watched him be bullied. I mean, relentlessly. He did not come from a good home life. And so he had opportunities of financial debt and, sure. And he just did not look like everybody else. And he was brilliant, just phenomenally brilliant, which intimidated, I'm sure, everybody else in my little smart people class. And, it was just relentless. And for a while, my element in contributing to that was that I just wouldn't say anything. But then after time, I found that I earned a little more popularity and credibility with the other people, the popular people in the crowd, if I would join right in.
Gotcha.
And so not proud of that at all. And I found out like 13 years ago, he was murdered. Mm. And I mean, the guilt, you know, right there, I thought, you know, I should have done something different back then. Apparently his bullying went on into adulthood. And so I love that analogy that they're teaching your daughter about filling someone's cup.
Right.
I mean, that's simple and easy, but powerful.
That's right.
So, yeah. Yeah. We all have some bully in us, I think.
Sure.
So,
to a certain extent. I mean, like you said, you know, mine wasn't in middle school, but I remember picking on a girl in high school. Everybody was giving her a hard time about the length of her hair. And, you know, when we sit here and talk about it and we think back, like, really, who cares?
Right.
You know? And then if she likes her hair that length, then that's good, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think to a certain extent, you know, we've all given each other a hard time or someone. But, again, if it's that imbalance of power, you know, some form of aggression, if it's intentional and it's mm-hmm. numerous,
yep.
You know, that is bullying by definition.
That's great. Well, thank you, Mike.
Well,
you guys
you.
Give Mike
Appreciate
a warm
it.
Hand. Yeah, they will down there. So as we close this morning, one of the West folks, Paul Lovett, wrote me and shared his story. And it's so powerful. I wanted to share it with you. He was going to do it verbally. He's at a soccer game this morning worshiping with us online. So, Paul, thank you for letting us hear your story. As a child, I was bullied. I had a mop of red hair and was constantly tormented since elementary school because of my hair color. Their favorite thing to say was, "The redhead is dead," or sing the song by Manfred Mann, "Blinded by the Light." I was also victimized with every typical kind of attack, knocking my books out of my hand, pushing, kicking, punching, slapping, you name it. I asked him how he coped with that and how he dealt with it, and he said, "You know, I cried a lot. I ran away, and at one point I started swinging my fist and screaming. I felt," and this is so important for us to hear, "I felt less than human, and I wanted to die a lot of the times. Mostly I was just very angry and confused since I never felt like I did anything to cause that treatment." I mean, it was because of his hair color, right? I want you to take a look if it plays. I know we're having some technical issues with our video this morning, but this is a clip from a high school, and it shows a young woman who is bullied and some people that stepped up to make a difference. Take a look at this.
This story starts with high school hierarchy, the kind where kids like Carson Jones and Tucker Workman lead the undefeated Queen Creek football team.
Senior year, you know, everything pretty exciting. A rush, but then, you know, it goes by fast, but it's fun.
While students like Shai Johnson just try to make it through the day.
The girl threw trash at me.
They were throwing trash at you? How did that make you feel?
Mad.
The 16-year-old sophomore was born with a brain disorder, and bullies have always been a part of life. Until this year, when her mom called on a family friend for help. It was Carson, starting quarterback Carson.
I emailed Carson, told him that Shai was having some issues, was just wanting some names, and he took it a step further and went and gathered Shai up at lunch, and she's been eating lunch with him ever since.
From first hour through the end of the day, Shai's guys make it a point to look after her, and this group's newfound friendship has changed the game.
They've either, like not bullied her anymore because I guess they've seen her with us or something.
They're modest about their small act, but to Shai, high school is a new world, a safe one.
You say, "My team, these are my boys," right?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because they save me, because I won't get hurt again.
All because a group of boys broke those silly social rules, and through it, earned a loyal friend.
It feels good to know that, you know, we helped someone else, you know, because, I mean, we're doing good, you know, everything for us is going well, but, you know, someone else needs to feel good, too.
It's really not meaning, because all my boys love me so much.
We all need some boys in our life, right? That's gender neutral right there in that phrase. We all need some boys. But Jesus would say that we all need to be the boys. There are so many instances in our everyday occurrences that we have the opportunity, like Mike said, to fill someone's bucket. Every action that we do either fills someone's bucket or takes from it. I mean, there is no, you know, nebulous area. It is either good and life-giving or life-taking. Jesus would tell us to give life. So who can you be a boy for this morning? How can we look around and see the people in our margins that are hurting and being bullied? And what can we do to make a difference? Let us look in the days ahead to try to do that. Let us pray. Gracious God, you do teach us in such a humble way what it means to be selfless and to love all, even those that persecute us. But we also know that children and youth and teens, they don't have the coping skills that adults have to hear those words quite yet. And so as adults and people that can stand up for others that are being bullied, God, will you show us ways that we can use the gifts and the skill sets that you've given each of us so that we can make a difference in the lives of those who are being bullied? God, thank you for Mike. Thank you for his leadership and the wisdom that he has shared. And use us all to be boys for other people and to be bucket fillers. In Christ's name we pray. So at one point in my lengthy 22-year career in ministry, I was bullied by another adult, and they had that power over me in lots of different ways, a physical power, a position of power. And so I said something, and I asked someone for help on how to deal with it. And their response to me was, just take the high road. And so I thought, well, that's nice and easier said than done. So I worked on taking the high road, but the bullying didn't stop. So I figured out over time that taking the high road did not necessarily mean being quiet. So the coaching of seeing something and saying something, whether it's for someone else or for yourself, is real. And I finally just confronted that person. And it took two or three times. But after the third time, they finally stopped. Let us see something, let us say something, and let us be boys and bucket fillers for the people that we see in our midst. May you go in peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.